I'm going to tell you a story about Melvin. Melvin came into the auto dealer or the auto repair shop, and he came in and he was bruised from head to toe. He had a broken left arm. His right leg has a brace on it. He had a gigantic bruise right in the middle of his face, and he was irate. He comes stomping in as best as he could, slammed that door, got right up to the front desk, and he began to berate the auto mechanic that was right there. I mean, just hollered and screamed at him. Auto mechanic was upset and not understanding what's going on. Why are you so angry at me? I was in here yesterday, he said. He says, yes, I remember that. I was in here yesterday and I got my car serviced, and when I left out of here, you told me everything was fine. Well, yes, sir, Melvin. When you left out of here yesterday, everything was fine. You liar, Melvin screamed. Auto mechanic looked at him and says, what are you talking about? When I left this auto mechanic shop yesterday and I went down the road, it was downhill. As I went down the road, my brakes failed. And I went right through a nursery, took out every plant that they had. I continued on down the hill and I ran right into a pig processing plant. My car is now totaled, my body is beat up, and I smell like a pig. He was mad. Auto mechanic looked at him and said, now wait a minute, how is that my fault? Why are you angry at me? He says, because when I left, you said my car was working fine. But evidently, when I went down that hill, the brakes completely went out, and they weren't working fine, were they? Auto mechanic got quiet, lowered his head, and says, you're right. I knew they weren't working right. Melvin said, what? Why didn't you tell me? He said, because I didn't want to hurt your feelings and make you feel bad. I wanted you to think everything was fine because I was afraid that if I told you your brakes weren't working right, that you'd get angry and you would not return back to my shop. So I didn't tell you everything. Brothers and sisters, I've got the truth to tell you. And if I don't tell you the complete truth, and you leave here not knowing the complete truth of what God's Word is saying, I'm doing to you just like that mechanic did to Melvin. Sometimes the truth is hard to take. Sometimes we don't want to hear it and absorb it and apply it to our lives. Sometimes we just want people to tell us that everything is just fine and dandy. And sometimes we just want people to be kind to us. Brother Brian, don't hurt my feelings today, please. Please, Brother Brian, share something nice about roses and raindrops and rainbows. Brothers and sisters, if I don't tell you the truth, then I'm doing more damage and harm to you than I am doing good. My idea is not to do damage to you. I don't want to hurt your feelings. I don't want to make you mad. I don't go through the week thinking, okay, what can I say this morning that's going to make people mad? I don't do that. That's not my goal. My goal is to preach God's Word exactly as it is, and let the Holy Spirit deal with you as He deals with me throughout the week. Now here's my challenge to you this morning. What are you going to do about the Holy Spirit speaking to you today? You got one to two choices. Ignore it or apply it. And I'm praying that you won't ignore it. Amen? Amen. Open your Bibles up, Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter number 17, we've been talking about signs of the times, we've been talking about future, we've been talking about the rapture upcoming, whereas we haven't quite got there yet. I'm preparing you for that. Last week we talked about the narrow road and the broad road. This morning I want us to talk about and understand what Jesus said about His coming again. Luke chapter number 17, Luke chapter 17 verse number 20. Jesus is dealing with a foe that He's been dealing with ever since His ministry started. Luke chapter 17, verse number 20. The Bible says this, "And when he," speaking of Jesus, "when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and he said, 'The kingdom of God comes not with observation. Neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you.' And he said unto his disciples, 'The days will come when you shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you shall not see it. And they shall say to you, see here or see there, go not after them nor follow them. For as the lightning that lights up the one part under heaven shines unto the other part under heaven, so shall the Son of Man be in his day. But first he must suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be ye also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, and they were given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff down in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. Remember Lot's wife. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. I tell you, in that night there shall be two men in one bed, and one shall be taken, the other shall be left. Two women shall be grinding together, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two men shall be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. And they answered and said unto him, Lord. And he said unto them, Wheresoever the body is, thither will the eagles be gathered together. And he said, now wait a minute, Brother Brian. It feels like you just opened up a fire hose and just sprayed it all at one time to us. See, here's the situation we need to understand and realize. Jesus is speaking to the disciples, and he's speaking to the Pharisees, and he's been dealing with the Pharisees this entire time of his ministry. And every time Jesus would appear to a place and begin to speak to the people, the Pharisees would show up and try to catch him and try to get him to say something that was awkward and try to make him mess up. But Jesus always had an answer for them. And so they're trying to catch him now. They said, okay, Jesus, when is the kingdom of God going to show up? Now see, the Pharisees were very studied men. They had known the scriptures from the book of Genesis all the way through. They knew it intricately. They knew everything about it. They knew that the Messiah was coming. Matter of fact, they knew everything. They knew it jot and tittle. But the problem was, they did not believe that Jesus was the promised Messiah. See, they had it set in their mind that the Messiah was going to come and have a government takeover. He was going to come in and get rid of the Roman government. He was going to come and set up martial law and get rid of all the Gentiles. And the Jews were going to be the supreme rulers with Jesus on the throne. So the Pharisees and the Sadducees had that set in their mind. But that's not why Jesus came. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. So every time they met with Jesus, they were aggravated and they were upset because he wasn't fitting their mold. May I tell you this? If Jesus fits your mold, then you're serving the wrong Jesus. You can't put Jesus in a box. You can't make Jesus what you want him to be. Jesus is mightier than that. He's the Lord of Lords. He's the King of Kings. And by the way, Jesus isn't a Baptist. Jesus isn't a Republican. Jesus isn't a Democrat. Jesus isn't a North Carolinian. You had me up till then, Brother Brian. Jesus is God in the flesh. And so as he was speaking to the Pharisees, and he was telling them, listen, look what he says. He says, the kingdom of God does not come with observation. He says, listen, you guys have it all figured out. You got everything knowing the timeline. You got everything figured out. He says, listen, the kingdom of God is right here in your presence, and you have completely missed it. I'm here, he says. I am the kingdom of God. And the Pharisees went completely out of their minds. They couldn't, it went right over their heads. Now here's the thing, brothers and sisters. Some of you were expecting Jesus to meet your requirements and Jesus to fit your mold. And Jesus, listen, if you're looking for Jesus to do that, you have missed him. You have to humble yourself, acknowledge that you're a sinner, acknowledge that you can't make it without him, and let him be sovereign in your life. Let him be your king. Acknowledge that you're a sinner. Acknowledge that you can't save yourself. Acknowledge that you're worthless without him. Acknowledge that you must have Jesus Christ save your sorry soul. The Pharisees and the Sadducees couldn't do that because they didn't expect him to come like this. They expected a military ruler. They didn't expect a lowly carpenter. So he says, listen, verse number 20, he says, the kingdom of God comes not with observation, neither shall they say, lo, here or there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God is with you. Now, the word within there does not mean that he's inside of them. That's not what it means. The word within means that he's present right now. That's what it means. The kingdom of God is right here in your presence. Verse number 22. Then he looks at his disciples and he says, the days will come when you shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, but you're not going to see it. He says, I'm leaving you. You're not going to understand that. And they shall say to you, see here, see there. Go not after them, nor follow them. He says, listen, one day I'm going to be gone. Now he's been telling them this. I'm going to be leaving, I've got to die, and I'm going to be resurrected. I'm going to ascend up into heaven. And one day that's going to happen. And when they say the Messiah has come, don't listen to them because I've already been here. There's a lot of false messiahs that were going to come. And that happened several times. Even after Jesus left, sometimes they would rise up and claim to be the Messiah, but it was proven all wrong. There's only one Messiah. There's only one God. There's only one way. Jesus the Christ. So he says, listen, when those words come, don't listen. Don't pay attention to them. Verse number 24, he says, for as the lightning that lights out of the one part under heaven shines into the other part of heaven, so shall the Son of Man be in his day. It's going to be obvious when I come, he says. When I return, it's going to be obvious. There's going to be no doubt. Now, there's some who believe that when the rapture takes place, it'll be in the middle of the tribulation. There's some who believe that the rapture, when it takes place, is going to be at the end of the tribulation. There's some who believe that the rapture takes place, happens before the tribulation. Well, Brother Brian, I didn't know there's those three different modes and methods. We are pre-trib. That means the Bible clearly teaches, if you take it literally, that the rapture happens before the tribulation happens. Jesus says, when I come, it's going to be rather obvious. It's going to be completely understand. Now, I heard this week, and I don't know how accurate this is, it kind of make me laugh, that all this uprising of UFO news that's coming up, that is preparing the world to explain what happens when the rapture takes place. They're saying that the story's going to be let out that the aliens sucked up all the people who were having negative energy on the earth. And that what happens, the explanation is going to be that all those negative people are gone now so that the earth can now once again reform into itself and be what it ought to be. My goodness. I mean, honestly, look it up. That's the latest explanation. Well, if I'm preventing the earth from being what it ought to be, Jesus, come get me. But that's going to be the latest explanation for it. The aliens have their spaceships right now. They're cloaking devices, and you can't see them, but they're out there. And they're waiting to suck us up. Now, how many of you believe that's far-fetched? Listen, that ain't the way it's going to happen. In the twinkling of an eye, at the trump of God, the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. So shall we ever be with the Lord. How long? Forever. So he says, listen, it's going to be very obvious when I return. Here's what he continues to say here. He says, but first the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. He says, listen, you don't know when it's coming. You don't know when it's going to happen. But just like Noah, remember the story in the book of Genesis? All the people were absorbed in eating and drinking. Matter of fact, he describes it right here. He says, listen, this is what it was like. He says, they ate and they drank, verse 27. They ate and they drank and they married wives and they were given in marriage. He says, listen, they were enjoying life. Man, they were doing whatever they wanted to do. Even though Noah was preaching, and even though they saw the ark going up, Noah kept saying, a rain is coming. And they looked at Noah and said, Noah, what's rain? Well, what's going to happen is that water's going to come from the heavens, and it's going to come up from the earth, and it's going to flood everybody, and everybody who's in the ark is going to be fine. And they looked at him and said, you're out of your mind, Noah. Aliens are going to come get us. No, that's not what they said. But they said, Noah, quit telling us about this because we want to live like we want to live. Man, we got enough to eat. We got enough to drink. We're getting married. We're living the way we want to live. Noah, shut your mouth because we don't want to hear it anymore. Does that sound familiar? Wow, I like that. Does that sound familiar? But I imagine when the rain began to fall, what's that? And the waters came up from the earth. I imagine they were looking for the ark. It was obvious it was there. And I think one of the saddest sounds was this. Let us in! But it was too late. Noah had warned them. And they didn't want to listen. After that took place, look what happens now. Verse number 28. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, and they sold and planted and they builded. They were doing the same exact thing. They didn't learn from Noah. And they went back to the same exact thing. Now, you'll notice the focus that Jesus is saying here is not on the sin. Jesus isn't focusing on the sin. You know what he's focusing? He's speaking to his disciples here. He says, listen, the focus is on the apathy. People got used to the way of life, the way it was going. Let me ask you, are you used to the way things are going and you happy in it? Are you resting on the fact that you've got plenty to eat, you've got plenty to drink, you've got somewhere to live, you've got clothes to wear, you're getting that government check, and you don't need anything, you don't need God, because everything is just fine? Jesus said the same thing happened in Lot. Matter of fact, his wife and their daughters, who were married at the time, they were completely happy. And the story says that the angels, God sent two angels to come to the house and say, Lot, you've got to get your family out. Don't stop nothing. You just pick all your, you just get your family and you get out. Don't take your luggage. Don't take your microwave. Don't take your car. Don't take nothing with you. You just get out of town because God's getting ready to judge this place. He says, okay, daughters, go get your husbands and let's hit the bricks. Let's get out of here. The daughters go to get the husbands and the husbands say, nah, we like it just fine here. We're completely happy. The day comes. You can read about it in the book of about all the debauchery that was taking place. The day comes, the angels pull Lot and his wife and his daughters, and they finally get out of town. And as soon as they get out of town, fire and brimstone come raining down. You say, Brother Brian, do you really believe that? I believe it because it happened. They got out of town and they're getting away from the city. And the Bible says that Lot's wife turned because the angel said, listen, once you leave the city, don't you dare look back. Because if you do, you're not going to like it. But his wife had her heart back in the city. The Bible says that she turned and she was made into a pillar of salt. Really? I believe it. And as soon as they got out of the city, she turned around and made into salt. Fire and brimstone came down and completely decimated Sodom and Gomorrah. Do you wonder why they call it Sodomites? From Sodom. So that tells you what was taking place in that city. Jesus says, just like the fact that they were warned and they didn't want to listen, sudden destruction is going to come. Suddenly, it's going to happen. But the problem is that we have grown so apathetic and we've grown so used to the way life is that we've lost our edge. Let me show you a couple things here real quick. Go to 2 Peter chapter number 3 real quick. That's all introduction. I have another hour. Well, you may have another hour, Brother Brian. I'm leaving, though. 2 Peter chapter number 3. Now, I want you to write these verses down. I'll read them to you. But I want you to write them down and study them. 2 Peter chapter number 3. Let me show you three different attitudes that are prevalent in the world right now. 2 Peter chapter number 3, as they always have been, but they be more prevalent now. 2 Peter chapter number 3, verse number 3. Or if we're starting verse number 1. He says, this second epistle, beloved, I write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds in the way of remembrance. He says, I want you to pay attention to what I'm telling you. That you be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us the apostles of the Lord and Savior. See, Peter was there when Jesus was speaking those words to the disciples. And he says, listen, I want you to understand this. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts. And this is what they're going to say. Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep or died, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. He says, listen, there's going to be scoffers that arise and say, well, it hadn't happened yet, so it ain't going to happen. And this is what they say. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world then that was being overflowed with water perished. He says the scoffer's going to come and say it hadn't happened yet. They're going to deny that Christ is going to return. What's happening now? That very thing. We'll say, Brother Brian, it's been happening for decades. Yes, it has. It's been happening for decades. Where is he? I hadn't seen him yet. Just because he hadn't got here yet doesn't mean he ain't coming. Amen? Well, Brother Brian, how do I know? How can I trust that then? How can I trust that he's going to return? Because he said so. See, here's the key. If you can't trust that Christ said so, that he's coming again, then you can't trust that he died for you. Either Jesus is telling the truth about everything, or he's just telling the truth about some things. Either Jesus is a liar, or he's the Messiah. All right, let me show you another sign. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, or chapter 3. We'll start verse number 3, or chapter 3, and then we'll go to chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. It's right after 1 Timothy. Just in case you have trouble finding it. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. There's going to be a denial of Christ's return, but number two, there's going to be a denial of morality, of godly morality. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. Paul writes to Timothy, says, Timothy, I want you to teach the people this, and this is what I want you to teach them. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. They're going to be covetous. They're going to be boasters. They're going to be proud. They're going to be blasphemers. They're going to be disobedient to parents. That means against authority, not just children, but they're going to be against all authority. They shall be unthankful. They shall be unholy. They're going to be without natural affection. Whew. They shall be truce breakers. They shall be false accusers. They're going to be incontinent. They're going to be fierce. They're going to be despisers of those that are good. They're going to be traitors. They're going to be heady, high-minded. They're going to be lovers of pleasure more than the lovers of God. They're going to have a form of godliness, but they're going to deny the power thereof. From such, turn away. Does that sound like 2021? We'll say, Brother Brian, well, this was written way back in AD 60 and AD 70. It's almost 2,000 years old, Brother Brian. Now think about it for a minute. When Paul wrote these words to Timothy, and it was pretty bad then, how bad is it now? Brothers and sisters, we've got to get our desires out of the gutter. This is a description right here. Lest I say, it's a description of some Christians. And I don't mean that angrily or in judgment. But some Christians are so absorbed in this world and the things of this world and their fleshly desires that that's all you care about. May I beg you, please, turn away from those things. There's a denial of Christ's return. There's a denial of morals. But it gets worse. Go to chapter 4. Same book, 2 Timothy, chapter 4. He says, Timothy, you're not only going to have to deal with social ills, you're going to have to deal with problems in the body of Christ. He says, verse number 1. He says, I charge thee, Timothy, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. See, that's who I answer to. I don't answer to you. I don't answer to the deacons. I don't answer to the public. I don't answer to the authorities of our state or our country or our city. I don't answer to them. I answer to my wife sometimes, but I don't answer to anybody else. I answer to God and Jesus Christ. He says, Timothy, you must understand, I'm charging you by the authority of God and Jesus Christ. He says, they shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Preach the word. Preach the word. Brothers and sisters, this is the authority. I'm not your authority. Your understanding and your belief system is not your authority. What some college professor or somebody on TV calls himself a doctor or a president or a politician, they are not your authority. This is. He says, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Don't labor from it. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. He says, listen, tell them the truth in season and out of season, and do it with love. That's why I'm telling this to you. I love you enough to tell you the truth. The auto mechanic didn't care about Melvin. All he cared about was the money. And the result was almost killed him. That was a fake story, so just in case you're thinking of Melvin. But I care enough about you to tell you the truth. This is the truth. He says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and they shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. He says, preach the word. Brothers and sisters, that's the only hope we have, what the word says. Because there's coming a time, and it's right now, that a lot of people who are following false Christs, and they're following false leaders, and they're following false things, because it makes them feel good. It makes them feel better about themselves. And I think we ought to feel good about ourselves. I mean, it ought to be happy. Yeah, we ought to enjoy life. But the problem is, we get so full of ourselves and our own fleshly desires that we get away from the things of God. I dare to say there may be some people in this room who don't want Christ to return yet. Because if he returned, guess what? You're going to miss out on the fun things of life. You're not going to get to go to the beach and go to the mountains, and you're not going to get to enjoy your vehicles. You're not going to get... When I was in college, I was so foolish. I said, Jesus, don't come back yet. I want to get married. Whew. I'm glad I got married. Praise God. I think she wonders sometimes, but I'm glad I got married. But see, my prayer was this. Jesus, I want to enjoy all the fleshly things first, and then you can come back. Oh, heaven help me. Brothers and sisters, do you want Jesus to come back? Get your minds out of the worldly gutters and turn to Jesus. Now, when's he coming back? When is Jesus Christ going to return for the church? I'll tell you next week. No, I'm just teasing. I don't know. There's nothing that's left to happen in prophecy except for that. That's the next step. When that is, I don't know. But I'm ready. How about you? When I was in college, we had a thing called rapture practice. I can't get up like I used to. Rapture practice. How about it? He said, Brother Brian, I don't know about all that. Have I read to you the word? You can believe it or you can deny it. You don't have an issue with me. You got an issue with the author. And like I said last week, who's going to participate in the rapture? Who's going to take place? Who's going to be part of that? All those who have Jesus Christ as their Savior. You say, Brother Brian, I know that, but I hadn't been right with him. Man, my life has just been a wreck. Man, I hadn't been living with for him. I've been living for myself, and I just don't. You know what you do? You confess it to Him, repent, turn away from it, and get right with Him. It's time. Get your lives out of the gutter. Repent. We say, Brother Brian, I've not done that yet. The call is there, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's not too late. You know why it's not too late? Because you're still alive and the rapture hasn't happened yet. Now, we'll talk more about the rapture next week. But let me be very clear and succinct. If I'm not here next week, and my body is gone and my clothes and everything are left, one of two things have happened. The IRS has come and got me, or the rapture has happened. Not aliens. And if you're sitting here this morning and you're saying, I don't want Jesus Christ as my Savior because I want to enjoy my life, and then when I get old like you, Brother Brian, then I'll get saved. Let me tell you, 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5 and 2 Thessalonians is very clear in saying this, that if you're believing a strong delusion and if the rapture takes place, you don't have a chance of being saved once you deny Jesus Christ as your Savior. Do not put it off. Game time is over. And I tell you this because I love you. I care. And I don't get paid extra for going overtime. It's going to happen. Are you ready? Let's all stand together this morning. Signs of the times. Now look at me for a minute. I'm not trying to scare you. And I'm not looking for an emotional response. Because if you're responding to me, then you're making me God. And I am not God. Not even close. But if the Holy Spirit is drawing you to the Father at this very moment, He's the one you need to respond to. If you don't know Jesus Christ, your Savior, right now, you need to confess your sins, ask Jesus Christ to save you, and to come into your life, and to be your Lord and Savior. If you know Jesus as your Savior, but you're not living right and your life ain't what ought to be, you ought to right now repent and say, God, please forgive me and restore me to fellowship with you. That's it. That's it. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Here's your opportunity. I'm going to give you a few minutes. You can come forward if you want. You can stay there if you want. Whatever God's telling you to do, you do it. But trust Christ as your Savior. If you need someone to show you, I'll be glad to do it. I'll show you what the Bible says. What the Bible says. A few moments of silent prayer, and then I'll come and close us in prayer. But if you have a need, I invite you to come. I invite you to come. Hope we have. And God, I know that through the years people have denied Christ and denied that He's coming and denied doctrine and denied all these things. But Lord, I know that You've told us that Jesus Christ is going to return for us. You've promised us that. You've guaranteed us that. And Lord, I want my life to point others to that. Even so, come, Lord Jesus, was the prayer we found in Revelation. So God, may Your will be done this morning. I know there's a lot of people dealing with spiritual issues in this room tonight, this morning. Maybe personally or of a loved one or a friend. Some are seeking your face. May you make yourself very real to them right now. May they repent and maybe trust Christ as their Savior for the very first time for real. May you heal. May you convict. May you encourage. But most importantly, may Jesus Christ be lifted high, because He's our only hope. We love you, God, and we thank you. In the precious name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.